The point was this. If at the core there was a strong ruler, a competent ruler, a powerful ruler with good military ability and a good army, the periphery remained loyal. The boundaries were well set. But if the leader was weak, or in times of famine, or in times of war, very often the outer reaches of a state would disintegrate and become briefly independent states, then perhaps rejoining the main state. It was like a concertina, constant fluctuation. And this fluctuation pitted lord against lord, dynasty against dynasty. And the Shang probably were one of the more powerful of these dynasties. This was a time of constant warfare, most of it on foot. And then in 1300 BC, the chariot was introduced from the west. These became ceremonial artifacts. They were used by the elite, but apparently not on the battlefield. There were actually chariot burials where the cast, as it were, of a wooden chariot is preserved in the grave in earth and can be reconstructed. Shang civilization was dazzlingly wealthy, especially famous then and now for its superb bronze metalwork, for ritual vessels made with intricately fitted clay molds. This sophisticated method contrasts sharply with the simple casting and hammering methods used at the time in the West. The shapes and the decoration and uses of Shang bronze vessels were ritually prescribed. They were used at banquets honoring the ancestors. These were entirely prestigious and sacred artifacts. Shang was probably the most important early civilization, or we should say tradition of early civilization in China. But it covered only a small area of the northeastern part of the country, surrounded by other still unknown states, which came into being at much the same time. Many of these may prove to be as important as Shang. But it's Shang that gives us a definition of a society with a chasm between the rulers and the ruled, a chasm that was to become even more extreme in later societies. A civilization where life was of no importance, where the king served as an intermediary with the divine ancestors, and a civilization where warfare and personal prestige were all important. It's very important to understand also that the foundations of thousands of years of Chinese civilization were laid during the Shang period and before. And it's also important to realize that the legendary dynasties of Xia, Shang, and Shu had a very solid grounding in actual historical reality. At the moment, we do not know the names of the kings. One day we may do. But we have a picture of a civilization which shares with the West many common features. The use of human hands, the pyramid-like organization of society, the chasm between the ruler and the ruled, the use of writing, the importance of metallurgy and trade. But there are important differences, too, which we've defined of a society that was distinctively Chinese from the very beginning. We've described in this lecture the beginnings of civilization in northern China. And we began by describing the increasingly complex Longshanoid cultures from which the very first Chinese civilization arose in about 2000 BC. Then we surveyed what the Chinese historians tell us about their early history, the three mythic dynasties, Xia, Shang, and Shu. Next, we described what archaeology tells us about Shang civilization, the urban clusters, the great social gap between elite and commoner, and the ritual role of the king in Shang society as an intermediary between the living and the ancestors. Finally, we made point that Shang civilization was surrounded by still other known states and was not that large, one of many such developments in China. And in AD 1027, the last Shang ruler was overthrown by a rival state to the west, Shu, which we describe in Lecture 29.